Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Liberty Bigly podcast. I'm your host, Patrick McFarlane, and I'm live streaming right now on float.app, which if you are not already using float.app, I suggest everyone get over there right now, especially everyone in the Liberty Weekly Elite who listened to my B-side show, which is what you're listening to, Liberty Bigly. For those of you watching on Float, Liberty Weekly podcast, I'm the host, Patrick McFarlane. I sometimes co-host with Keith Knight, who might be someone that you are familiar with. I'm a practicing attorney, and I analyze libertarian legal theory on my show, and I also have guest interviews, and I tackle stuff with Keith, and we just have a whole lot of fun. So it'd be great if you checked out my website, libertyweekly.net. And let's dive in here to the topic at hand. I want to talk a little bit about YouTube because I think YouTube is dead, or at least it's in its death throes. And maybe it doesn't know it's dead. Maybe it's like if you're a hunter at all and you've ever shot a deer, and the deer obviously has a double lung penetration and the deer is bleeding out and the deer doesn't really know that it's dead yet. It can run maybe 30 yards. 40 yards, something like that. Then it realizes, I can't breathe. And, half my body fluid is in a blood trail on the ground behind me. And that's when it dies. So at this point, I don't know. I don't know if I should call the latest move from YouTube the death blow. I think it's certainly, to me, in my mind, it seals the coffin. Even if the nails aren't in the coffin yet, the lid is on the coffin, and this comes on the heels of YouTube announcing that it will remove any videos alleging, I'm quoting a CNET article, it will remove any new videos alleging that President Donald Trump lost the U.S. 2020 election to Joe Biden because of fraud or errors. And I'm sure you've had some content providers that you listen to address this today. I know Tim Pool was talking about it. And maybe he came to what I think is the correct takeaway for him, because Tim Pool has had lots and lots of videos discussing and alleging not fraud per se. You know him. He's kind of a milquetoast fence sitter, and he'll say discrepancies in the U.S. election, but not necessarily fraud, because fraud implies intent. Which in some case, I mean, you see the video of the ballot boxes being taken out from under the tables after the election observers have been dismissed for the night. That happened in Georgia. You have hundreds and hundreds of eyewitness testimony, under oath testimony, and affidavits attesting to election fraud. And I mean, you be the judge. I don't think that you can legitimize the election in anyone's mind at this point in time. And I think if Joe Biden goes and wins, there might be a very damaging blow to people's faith in the electoral process, which from an anarchist point of view, which of course I am, I come from that point of view. I don't know that there's anything particularly wrong with people not believing in the authority or legitimacy of government. However, when you have a whole bunch of statists who think that the government, by definition, is legitimate, they support a state, it's not that you are completely destroying, it's not per se that you're completely destroying their faith in the state. You are just destroying their faith in this state, in the legitimacy of this state. It's not that some of them might be red-pilled in wake up and realize that the state is just an illegitimate group that has a legal monopoly on the use of force within a given territorial area. Maybe they'll wake up and this will be some kind of a red pill to make them understand that point, that no one should have that monopoly on the legitimized initiation of aggression on peaceful actors. Maybe they'll realize that. Somehow I doubt it. I don't think that will happen. And what I think happens in this situation is a bit more dangerous, in which a lot of people still believe in the legitimacy of government, but they just don't believe in the legitimacy of this government. So then you have a situation where it's not that you have anarchists, but you have a bunch of people trying to get together to form a new legitimate, in the eyes of the populace, a new legitimate government. And I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. In the extent that people are starting their freedom cells, and I've been paying a lot more attention to the conscious resistance lately, talking about starting a free, at least going to freedomcells.org and starting a agorist underground railroad per se of libertarians and anarchists and voluntarists that would like to flee to a certain place to start an intentional community, or to flee and statism and the vaccines that it looks like we're going to be coerced or forced into taking. I've been following that, listening to it. I think that's one thing. I think you really should know your neighbors in the event that, you know, you lose your employment, especially is the biggest concern that so many people would go along with taking the vaccine, that employers would get away with firing people for not taking the vaccine. I think that if 20% of the workforce lost their jobs, or if 20% of the workforce were unwilling to take the vaccine to save their job, I think employers would be forced to hire people who aren't vaccinated. Either that, or you would face the impending destruction of the economy. 20% reduction in employment, that would be, I would think that that would be huge. I'm not an economist, though. I'm an armchair economist, I guess I could say. But so back to the initial topic, which was YouTube. I think that there's a lot of people, sorry to go off on that tangent, I think that there's a lot of people who are posting content to YouTube alleging election fraud. And I mean, if there's one thing that you know, you're getting close to the right answer when people start not allowing you to talk anymore or talk about a specific subject. That's not always the case, but I think maybe in this instance, it's indicative of that. Google has deleted 8,000 channels in the last few months. I'm trying to find the spot in the story. Oh, I'm way down. Let's see. YouTube released some statistics about its enforcement and other actions so far related to the election. Those election results information panels showed up beneath more than 200,000 election-related videos, the company said, adding that the panels were shown more than 4.5 billion times. Since Election Day, fact-check information panels showed up over YouTube search results more than 200,000 times, including for voter fraud-related queries, such as, quote, Dominion voting machines and, quote, Michigan recount. YouTube said it has terminated more than 8,000 channels and thousands of harmful and misleading elections-related videos since September. It said that 77% of those removed videos were taken down before they hit 100 views. It said more than 70% of video recommendations on election-related topics directed people to news sources that YouTube deems as authoritative. It said the top 10 authoritative news channels were recommended more than 14 times, more than the top 10 non-authoritative channels on election-related material. So, okay, first, they're not going to let you talk about election fraud. And, of course, there are the election misinformation. Let's read their initial. There's this whole thing about the cult and religion of democracy that they, for some reason, believe that the best way to make a decision is having a majority of people, the majority rule. And although we don't live in a pure democratic system, when you and the founders put in place certain safeguards to protect against the tyranny of the majority. But over time, those safeguards have been eroded, and we see attacks on those safeguards, such as the Electoral College. There used to be the direct election, it didn't used to be that we would directly elect senators, but I'm not remembering. I think it was the 19th Amendment that did away with that. Maybe the 13th. Let me fact check. myself. I used to have this on command. 17th Amendment. So the 17th Amendment got rid of the instituted the direct election of U.S. senators. So we have those safeguards going away. There were safeguards against majority rule, but I know, of course, all of us do, but I know people in my personal life that are the faithful, the democratic, the system blue-pilled, the cathedral faithful, who honestly, I mean, they are right to think this, that they would say, of course, our democracy is at stake. That's something that you hear all the time. I think they're right to, they're not right, they're right to know that there's something rotten in the state of Denmark, so to speak. They know that something is wrong, but they are so blue-pilled that they are just repeating the mainstream media talking points, and the politicians, the Democratic politicians, some Republican politicians, their talking points, essentially that our democracy is at stake, and Donald Trump, what he's doing represents the biggest threat to our republic. Sometimes they even use the word republic, but usually they use the term democracy. Although I don't think they know when they use the term republic, I don't think they know exactly the concept that they're referring to, which supports this idea of checks against the tyranny of the majority and power checks, checks and balances. So it's kind of public school civics 101. So you can see all of the everything in these newspaper articles all going lockstep with this concept of direct threats to our democracy. And this is why this misinformation is so dangerous, because, you know, when the New York Times lies about Saddam Hussein having weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and it leads directly in part to the U.S. invading Iraq and destroying the country, killing hundreds of thousands, if not million, maybe million plus individuals. Well, that's not dangerous. I mean, come on, that didn't directly lead to actual violence and death on a large scale. However, I don't know. Maybe I'll eat these words. Maybe people talking about election fraud and stoking those flames will directly lead to a civil war where lots of people could potentially die. However, I don't think that talking about election fraud leads to the violence. I think the election fraud itself leads to the violence. If we had free and open discussion about this issue of election fraud, then what would probably happen is there would be what the people saw as a legitimate inquiry into the question of election fraud. They would look into it. If the process seemed fair and legitimate, you would have a lot more people accepting the results, even if it had ended up certifying a Joe Biden presidency. This way, it's the cover up of people, the suppression of discussion on the issue of election fraud and the election fraud itself, that I think both of those things, and especially the suppression, I think is stoking the flames even more. I'm trying to come up with an analogy of, I don't think it's quite like throwing gasoline on a fire. Maybe it is in the sense that, well, you throw a lot of gasoline on a fire, there's a chance it might snuff out the fire, but it could explode. So here's YouTube's official statement, YouTube Insider. So a tweet. Our goal this election was to connect people to authoritative info, limit harmful misinfo, and remove violative content. Subsequently, authoritative news was widely watched and recommended, and since September, we removed 8,000 plus channels for violating our policies. Yesterday was the safe harbor deadline. Now that enough states certified their presidential election results, we'll remove any content published today or any time after that alleges widespread fraud or errors changed the 2020 U.S. presidential election outcome. So I put a tweet or a Facebook post about this, and I said, this is a great segue into what I wanted to eventually get to. But I said, today, YouTube announced it will begin the process of permanently banning videos which claim election fraud. And I think what will happen is that they're, from what I understand, maybe I should look at the article. From what I understand, past a certain date, YouTubers who post videos who have claim election fraud or errors, they will receive a warning. But by like January 2020 or January 6th or something, I think, I don't know if the content will be taken down, but you will also be banned. I'm not sure. Sorry, I should have checked into that before I started this podcast recording. But this is the end. If there are legitimate, I mean, there were already topics that YouTube said, basically, there wasn't a clear line policy on this, but there were certain things like, oh, well, you violated the community guidelines. Okay, well, what does that mean? It's like that JP Sears video. Well, you violated the community guidelines. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, it says so in the community guidelines. And then you go to the community guidelines and it says, you know, against community guidelines. That's just what it is. It's a subjective definition of what isn't allowed on YouTube. But now you have a bright letter line saying, okay, well, you know, obviously you can't upload pornography. You can't upload direct threats, real threats to someone's life or something like that. There's all the internet laws, internet speech laws, regulations on that. But here's an actual policy about something that's not illegal to do. That's a bright line policy as opposed to some subjective community guidelines policy. And next it's going to be the vaccine. I bet it's already, you know, first it's incremental steps. First, well, we're going to covertly derank you. And then after that, it's okay, well, we're going to covertly derank you. And then we're going to put disclaimers underneath your videos. And then it's okay, well, oh, and we'll ban you, you know, if you say hate speech or something like that. And then it's, well, you know, we're going to covertly ban you or derank you. We're going to put disclaimers underneath your videos and you might be banned. But if you talk about this one thing, you'll definitely be banned after you get some warnings, but we're definitely going to ban you and you can't talk about that. Next, it's going to be, okay, well, you can't talk about vaccines. Okay, well, next, you can't allege, you know, of course, you can't speak ill of Bill Melinda Gates. Or next, you can't criticize Joe Biden. Well, that would be maybe one of the final steps. You know, going just further and further in that direction, narrowing the funnel of things that you're, the umbrella of things that you're allowed to talk about. And sorry about that. And this is why Liberty content providers need, I've been saying this, but this is why you need to homestead these other alternative platforms. There's a lot of people who have, and there's quite a few big names that haven't. And I really don't understand, because I'm thinking of people like Tom Woods and Dave Smith and potentially even more people. Let's see. I don't know if Lions of Liberty have gone on these other platforms. I'm just Thaddeus Russell. I don't know if he's gone on other platforms. I'm just thinking of your big banner, biggest libertarian podcast out there. And Michael Malice, I don't think, is on alternative platforms. And on some level, it's like, okay, well, why would they? Is it really worth their time? It doesn't cost them anything, not really, to go on these alternative platforms. But they, I mean, especially Michael Malice and Tom Woods, whenever they do a live stream, they get hundreds and hundreds of dollars in super chats. And what I think they need to do is right now, they need to get in at the ground level of these things. A lot of these platforms, I mean, BitChute has been around for 4 or 5 years. I started using BitChute within, I think, months of when it launched. Library, I've really, really been enjoying, and I'm turning that into my main first place. There's, enough content providers there right now to, it's great. I mean, like, not everyone listens to Ryan Dawson and the Anti-Neocon Report, but he's not on YouTube. He's on BitChute. I do like BitChute, but he's on Library. James Corbett is on Library. Last American Vagabond is on Library. I believe Press for Truth is. The Conscious Resistance is on Library. John Stossel is on Library. Who else is on Library? Anyways, so, God, now I got to think of this person who's on Library. Ben Swan is on Library. Richard Grove is on Library and just launched a new major project called Grand Theft World on Library. So there's all these more like the Agorasphere producers are going on these alternative platforms, but the belt, they're not even beltway. That's not the right term because that has other implications, but these content producers that are the biggest liberty content producers in the ANCAP realm, the Misesian, Rothbard, Ostro school area. You know, and perhaps I'm wrong too, because I'm trying to think of, I'm not quite as familiar with what I would consider more the Agora voluntarist wing, you know, like James Corbett, Larkin Rose, Last American Vagabond, Conscious Resistance, Press for Truth. Luke Rutkowski is kind of in that area. We Are Change. So those are just to name a few. I hope I'm not, you know, Richard Grove, I think, is in that that realm too. Those people are over there. Why not Tom Woods and Dave Smith and Michael Malice and all these other figures? And that would move so many people with them. And if they just press this, because at some point in time, you know, they took down Tom Woods's anti-lockdown video off the internet, and it had off YouTube, and it had a million plus views. There's going to come a time when Tom Woods and Michael Malice and Dave Smith, admittedly, Dave Smith does not have nearly as many YouTube watchers as he does downloads. Actually, to be fair, neither does Tom Woods. Maybe that's the reason why they haven't switched. But they still need to homestead these new platforms. They need to bring whatever audience they have from their other platforms over here. I'm sure they have a guy, they have a producer that can do that for them. And, you know, to be fair, I have a full-time job. The Liberty Weekly podcast is my hobby. I have enough time. I have a kid. I have enough time after my kid goes to bed and after I get home from work. I don't watch TV. For me, this is my entertainment and this is my fun. Spend some time with my wife, come downstairs after a little bit, get this done, work kind of a little bit late into the night. This is my entertainment. Dave Smith, Tom Woods, Michael Malice, they have people. I know a lot of them have producers that do this. Throw your videos up on Library, throw them up on Odyssey, throw them up on, you know, do live streams on Float. Find, I'm sure you can, the staff or the developers at Float have been super responsive. Shout out to Emily, who's helped me out with a lot of this stuff. But they've been super responsive. I'm sure it could be a feature to have some kind of third-party software that could stream your video to Float and to Facebook and to Twitter and to, you know, whatever, all those different platforms. So I guess I might be beating a dead horse here, but there's going to come a point in time when their entire outlet, all the work that they put into YouTube is going to be gone. That's going to happen. We've seen the march long enough to realize that this is an eventuality, and there's a lot of other YouTubers who have just put all of their apples in the YouTube boat, and we can't do that. And they also have to start finding ways to distribute their podcast that avoids people like, as much as I like Anchor, I don't know how, I haven't had any censorship issues with Anchor. Of course, I plug them on my show because I think the barrier to entry and the utility of using Anchor is so, the barrier to entry is literally none. And the utility to people who want to start their own show for free and get a voice and a following, it's so, you know, it's so much higher for them. The utility is so high that I suggest using Anchor. you know, it's a possibility they could start censoring people. But I've said some pretty outlandish stuff on my podcast and everything is fine. Once that starts happening and I see the winds start to change, it's pretty easy to migrate. So vote with your feet, kind of be the change that you want to see. But we need to find some way to distribute podcasts that completely avoids, you know, it might be up to Apple at one point who's like, okay, well, we're going to pull podcasts from the Apple store or iTunes, or Spotify might be like, okay, well, we're going to cast, you know, we're going to pull these podcasts from our feed. There's other distribution places. What we really need to do is fight to set up our own infrastructure is really what it is. And if I were a smarter person, if I were someone who was into coding, or if I was intelligent enough to create my own platform like Float or Library or Odyssey or ThreeSpeak or Steemit or Hive or Minds or MeWe or all these different options are out there. But it's becoming clear that we need to start our own infrastructure. And James Corbett has even talked about this idea of mesh internet. The idea that you have like a chain link system of different people who are also users of the internet, but all, are also hosting instances of the internet. And so it's more of a mesh kind of thing instead of a centralized, well, I get my internet from my internet service provider kind of thing. We need to do that. I need to figure out how IPFS works so I can host my website on IFPS. IFPS, yeah. So I can host it there. But I mean, replace everything. Replace the podcast hosting platform. Replace your website hosting platforms. Replace your video sharing platforms. Replace your social media platforms. Get everything like that, because you can't trust anything. You can't trust any of these traditional sites that you've been working on. So I'm running up on time here. I hope that you've enjoyed this podcast episode. Before I go, I want to plug all of the sites where I've been focusing my effort. And another thing, I get more views on these alternative platforms than I do on YouTube. Each one, you know, rivals YouTube, or I get more reactions or more eyeballs on my content and interaction with consumers of my content, which I really enjoy talking to them and seeing their opinions. But I get more of that interaction, more of the views as a ratio to how large my audience is. The audience is smaller on these alternative platforms, but you know that the user base is more engaged because they care enough to ditch YouTube and to join this alternative platform. It's not just like they have a YouTube and they, you know, there's a huge wave. You know, there's a lot of different things. There's less content providers. People are more intentionally using these other platforms. Less content providers, you're not screwed by the algorithms. I mean, there's so many different reasons. You get rewarded with cryptocurrency to use these other platforms. So there's so many other reasons for big content providers to at least be having an offshoot on these other platforms. So join me at float.app/Liberty Weekly. Let's see. Let me make sure I get that right, that URL. Yeah, float.app/Liberty Weekly. App is APP. Join me on Minds. My handle is Liberty Weekly. Liberty Weekly for everything. Join me library.tv/Liberty Weekly, or you can just search me on there. MeWe, I have a group of people that are really active, and there's a group chat function where people are talking all the time about libertarianism and even getting in some spicy arguments, which is what happened this morning. Not the worst though, not the worst I've seen. So I'm just, find me on ThreeSpeak, which is, something on the Hive Steemit blockchain. I think it's mostly Hive. Hive is like Steemit. It's a blogging site that rewards you in cryptocurrency. So I'm on there. So Float, Hive, Mine, Steemit, MeWe, Library, all those different apps. Join me out there. Start using them. I mean, start actually using them. They're viable. So, and BitChute even has a cast, a screencast, like a Google Chromecasting thing. So anyways, all right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. If you're watching on Float, check me out. This is my B-side podcast. Liberty Bigly, anchor.fm/Liberty Bigly.